Welcome to the Not So Fast Podcast, the admins for the Freaky Fast Racing League and the National iRacing League discuss all the league happenings, along with other occasional unnecessary dialogue.
Are you looking to be immersed into your racing rig? Using patented technology, Butt Kicker products connect you to your couch or chair to send the feeling of special effects, explosions, rocket launches, racing engines, music, and much more right through it. It's a new immersive dimension in home entertainment. All right, thanks for joining us this morning. Today we have Patrick Anderson, Michael Gitchell, Jeff Ramsdell, and myself, Dave Gilbert. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Normally, we start with our week in iRacing. Any other leagues, official races, or hosted races?
I did a Tuesday, did a Bristol Dirt, and Patrick knows how I hate dirt, and ended up finishing the top five after a rough and tumble truck race. But yeah, I'll take a top five on Bristol Dirt and trucks. But other than that, week's been decent to me.
Oh, you're like Alex Bowman. You just fall into these, back into these good finishes all the time.
Yeah, yeah. As they say, I'd rather be lucky than good.
You hack into them finishes.
Right. Yeah. Where was I? I was behind my street stock lead last night, and the guy goes, "You just got passed by a hack on the back bumper." I was like, huh, I might have to do that.
You're like, I like this guy.
Then he wrecks the whole field.
You're like Fonseca, you know, just showing up every race, 2 minutes of practice, and you just go out.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he have a top 10 last night? I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, Fonseca did get a top 10.
Yeah. Backed his way into another top 10.
Mm-hmm. No practice. Yeah. That's one thing that Dale Jr. on always talks about, like with Mark Martin, how Mark Martin go out on the very first lap of practice and just like put down a qualifying lap, and or Dale Jr. talks about how he has to like build up speed, you know, build it up before he's going to arc it into turn one at full speed.
Yeah, Jeff, he just comes right out and gets 10 laps of practice. I'm going to have to stop. Like, last night we didn't have Quaker there. Quaker, he usually, you know, goes on to VRS with like the fixed sets, and he's like, well, this is what they're running. You know, it kind of points us in a direction. So last night Quaker wasn't with us, so I hopped on VRS and got like the fixed set and just, okay, well, this is our starting direction for changes.
It seemed like we could use a lot more brake, though.
Yeah, that's one thing I always change is the brakes. But, yeah, you know, like we get that starting point and then we just go, you know, make your changes.
Yeah.
Not telling Rams of those anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, keep them secrets to yourself.
Yeah.
That's one thing that when I'm in the world domination chat is that we're pretty good about sharing what we're doing. You know, if somebody asks, you know, what our steering ratio is or brake bias is, you know, everybody's willing to offer it up. But yeah, you know, it's some of it's like personal preference where it doesn't really translate to the next driver either.
Uh-huh.
Like a lot of the guys will run 12-1, 10-1, I'll be 14-1.
I'm with you on that one. I think, what race was it a while back where I was just like,
Loudon, I believe, wasn't it?
I don't know if it was Loudon, but I...
It was the Arca car, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Arca car. We just decided, you know what, I'm going to go with the 12-1. And I ran 12-1, and yeah, I was fast. I think it was Nashville.
Yes, that's what it was, Nashville.
Yep. And Ramsdale ran the 14-1. I would pull him the first 20 laps of the run. The last 20, he was up my butt.
Yeah, it's like, pre-race, you got to be thinking, you know, is this going to be a caution? Are we going to get locked to long green flag runs? If it is, then do, it's going to change how you want your steering ratio to be.
Last thing, too, you got to think about, is it going to be cautions or not? If it's cautions, then you're going to be wasting a lot of tire.
Yeah. Yep. But Sunday, the Freaky Fast guys, speaking of tires, they went to Rockingham Speedway with the Xfinity cars.
Yeah, we went there with the Xfinity cars. Me and Getch were there. The race was 115 laps. I was fastest in practice, but couldn't cash in on the qualifying. But Luke Smith ended up getting the pole for qualifying. And then the race happened. So we had 115 laps. We had a stage caution, I think, was it lap 35. And overall, we had 3 cautions with 17 people. For Rockingham, I think that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, well, overall, seemingly about 30 wrecks, even though there's only 3 cautions.
I know. Me and Gitch got into it. I mean, Gitch, I think Gitch hit me like 3 times that whole race. Bounced off me. It was saving grace.
Well, but yeah, I mean, somebody was probably bouncing off of him prior to you, so.
Yeah, it was some beating and banging, but I mean, you'd spin out and the caution wouldn't come out, and me and Gitch needed one at the end there, but we didn't get it. But Luke Smith ended up taking the win. Evan Hurdle took second. Michael Miller took third. Tyler Rush took fourth. Trevor Harmon was fifth. Keith Fonseca was sixth. I was seventh. Michael Gitchell was 8th, Joe Turkle was 9th, and Richard Crane rounded up the top 10, and there was 6 cars in lead lap at the end of that race. Overall, it was a decent race with the Xfinity cars there. I might have had something for Luke there. I was closing him in on stage there, but then once you get back in traffic, people would race you hard and use your stuff up. Easy track to use your stuff up.
Yeah.
Isn't it nuts how you use your stuff up in the back, and you are driving slower?
Oh, I know. It's like you try to drive in harder to get to pass the person, and it was the ditch. I don't know how you thought of like 3 and 4. Like, you could either get down low and ride the bumps, or ride high and kind of use your stuff up a little bit coming out.
Yeah, Rockingham. I enjoy that track. It's got different features than a lot of the tracks that we have on iRacing that we run typically.
And with them repaving it, I think we see NASCAR go back there.
I could see at least the truck race going there starting.
Because, I mean, if they're going to go to Wilkesboro, why wouldn't they go to Rockingham? They're trying to promote these mile or less tracks,
Because they're going to go to New York Road instead. They're going to go to a New York street course.
Yeah.
That's just...
I heard that they're going to... That now, since they drew in Chicago, that they're looking into doing a street course in New York.
Yeah, that's what... I don't know if you guys listened to the Denny Hamlin's new podcast. I forgot what it's called now. But,
Denny who?
Detrimental to... Detrimentals. What's it called? I can look it up real quick.
Yeah, all things detrimental.
Actions detrimental, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, he talks about them going to other markets and stuff. But, I mean, I guess the grassroots in me and what I've grown up on is I like that, what we've had and change. Doesn't really sit well with me. Sometimes it does. Some tracks are awesome. And you like them, but I don't think I'll ever like going out to California for the Clash and running the Clash at that track out there that they've been running it at.
Oh no, and it sucks because we have these opinions and You know what the young kids are going to say to us? Okay, boomer.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it having the two road courses, because the road courses, you look forward to them, and now they're like, oh, there's a road course every other week now.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't mind too much.
I didn't mind when they added Daytona Road. That wasn't that bad.
Yeah. But
then when they added everyone, like...
Yeah.
Like or the
who wants to go to COTA?
Yeah.
Even racing that in real life sucks.
Yeah.
I mean... the Roval didn't sit well with me at first, but after a few races, it's not so bad. So, I mean, they could have four of them on there. You know, Daytona Road, the Roval, the Glen, and Sonoma. But I think that's pretty much all that should be on there.
Or they swap one out, you know, go every other year to the Roval, or go every year to the Indy Road, or, you know, swap it back and forth with Oval to
that. Yeah, I agree.
To that, you know.
I like the old, I don't like the Chase. I like the old school points of, you know what, let's reward guys for an entire season.
Now, did you see, I saw on Twitter that they came out with a post, if it was the old NASCAR way, Jeff Gordon would have 7 championships.
Yeah, and Jimmy Johnson would only have like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I wouldn't mind Jay Ski going back.
Had that for years. They always... the classic championship, and then every time they'd change the format, they would add that as the classic, or, you know, even all the way back to the Winston Cup.
Yeah. And then I had a thought, but I just dropped it. Oh, back to the when Kurt Busch won, they had the Nextel Chase, right? Sprint Chase, whatever it was called. That I don't mind that one. You restart them, and then you go out for points.
Yeah, like the top 10.
The top 10
go. Yeah, that wasn't too bad. 10. Just the re-rack and 10 races go.
Yeah. I don't mind that. That's not bad. But doing
this, I don't mind that.
Doing this, you know, points carry over. You're guaranteed getting in the top 8, top 4, you know, as long as you have good races.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't it Elliott last year? You know, he kind of, you know, he won the regular season championship, and then he limped into the final 4.
Yeah.
You know. But I'd like the years, you know, like the year Kenseth won. He won one race all year.
Yeah, but he just
knocked out solid finishes all year, and you just get, you know, I don't like the reward for getting into the playoffs and then having a strong playoffs. I'd rather a champion be based on the entire year.
Yeah, I think. Kenseth only finished outside the top 10 like once that whole season.
Yeah, dude was a stud back then.
I mean, he was an awesome driver. I really liked watching him come up. Him and Dale Jr. came up at the same time, and, you know, Jr. won the two back then they were called Busch Championships, but then once they got the Cup, but you know, Kenseth, he was quiet. He didn't have, you know, near the fanfare that Dale Jr. had, but his career was solid, you know.
But he jumped. I would honestly say when he came in, I would probably say his equipment was better than DEI, except for at restrictor plates tracks, you know. But I think that if Earnhardt wouldn't have died, I'd put money on saying that Jr. would have been a champ, because he was on this. He was going up,
mm-hmm.
and DEI was going up, and then everything that happened.
Yeah,
I think he would have been a champ if Earnhardt wouldn't have died.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy Dale Jr. much more than I did when he was a driver. I just think that he got gifted a lot of stuff, you know, just because of his last name. But
That's a different episode. That's next week, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I probably got a lot of people just turn off the podcast for that, but I think, you know, if his name wasn't Earnhardt, he would have never made it out of a super late model, you know?
Oh, yeah, probably.
But that's a lot of drivers in NASCAR that's got a famous last name, like Kyle Petty. He started right in ARCA. You know, he had a last name. You know, he didn't even drive a super late model, so...
Yeah, that was what episode was that? They just talked about that. Yeah. Oh, Steve Meal, wasn't it? Shane Meal?
Yeah, Meal. Steve Meal, yeah.
Yeah, Steve, yeah. I always love the Dilger podcast, listen to the old stories and stuff.
Yeah, I always listen to that long before I listen to this one.
Yeah, even on my long road trips that hopefully I'm getting out of now, but on my long road trips, I would always listen to those ones before ours.
Yeah. But anyways, on Monday, we were given away, there was a championship to be earned with the Split Decisions Racing League.
Yeah, we finished that league out on Monday. We at Charlotte in qualifying. The trucks were the fast ones. We had Richard Crane. He came home with the overall pole, followed by Wasaki, then Teagan, then Joel Brewer, David Scott, Larry Bruner. And then in ARCA, you had Lucas. He brought home the pole, followed by, me, Thomas, Gitchell, Fonseca, and Minnie going for the hard charger. I think he ended up getting that. Yeah, maybe.
I think. No, Thomas ended up getting it.
Yep, Thomas. So overall, Lucas, he came home with the win. Fonseca came home second, and he took home the championship. He had that locked up by stage one, by the end of the stage, first stage.
Yeah, didn't have much.
Really, all he had to do was show up, and he had it locked. Followed by Thomas, then Jeff, then me, and then Gitchell. Gitchell, he was 68 laps down.
I ended up parking it. I got loose off a four and it just hooked the wall and it just nope. You're mine now. You're part of the wall. And I'm just like, all right, I'm just gonna leave this the sad end of the season.
Yeah. And after the chase, Fonseca, he won the ARCA championship, and the truck championship came down to a tie, and Richard Crane ended up winning it by nightly points. He scored one more point than Douglas Wasaki. And we had a little bit of turmoil in that race just because Jeff ran out of talent.
Yeah. I went in the corner, and I did the same thing with Richard when he passed me. I went in the corner low and then swooped it up high. And Doug came in there so fast that he didn't know I was going to go up high. And those ARCA cars were just pushing so bad at that point. And he had just ended up ruining me and taking me out, and I felt bad for Doug. I really didn't want to do it to him. I wanted them to race it out. Doug was such a good competitor all week, all season. He was a good competitor. But that truck class was awesome this year. It was awesome watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of good racing in that truck class.
Yep. So on Monday nights, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but we got some plans for Monday nights here. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we had the driver question of the podcast question of the week, and I posted that up, and we didn't have very many people respond about what name the driver who made them love iRace or love racing. Matthew Fitz from Freaky Fast. He took Tony Stewart as the, somebody that made him love iRacing.
Yeah. Keith Fonseca, he loves himself.
Yeah. So what do you guys, what's the driver that made you guys love racing?
Man in Black, Intimidator.
I have to go Gordon. I was always a Gordon fan.
Yeah, growing up,
I know. Everyone would say that.
Yeah, you like those rainbow colored cars, right?
Back in the day, I would go to Loudon. Everyone had their fag sign up. Fans against Gordon. And then, so my father was a Earnhardt fan, and my mother was a Rusty Walls fan.
Oh, there were some domestic disputes at that house.
Right. Your driver did mine.
Yeah, so I grew up, my grandpa and grandma got me into watching racing all the time. And my grandparents loved Earnhardt, and that's how we were brought up. My grandpa, he would go like more Wisconsin guy, so you know, he liked Dick Trickle. In what, 91, Kawicki. You know, when Kawicki came up and was up in Cup, you know, definitely cheering, pulling for the Wisconsin guys. And so I loved the Hooters car.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Mitchell? Like the Hooters car. Initially for me, it was Earnhardt, but it became more Stewart as time ran on.
Yeah. Yeah. I will go. For me, my dad would take me to the local track, and there was a late model driver by the name of Joy Fair. A lot of people up in the Midwest know about him. He actually raced, I believe he raced tried qualifying for the Indy 500, maybe once or twice. But cool story about him is his, so when a motor is rotating, the motor is rotating towards the right. And so one of the things that he had a machine shop that did, it built him a motor that turned left-handed counterclockwise. So the his thought process was the motor is working against you going, you know, as you're trying to get around the corner. So I just thought that was always really cool about how his car, his motor spun backwards compared to everybody else's.
Interesting.
Now, like, if you go down to the local tracks, like you are, you know, we had late models up in Wisconsin, you know, like Pat Doerr, John Canta. He's fast in a late model, but he's just a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking back in the, you know, early 80s for me. You know, when I'm like 5 years old and I'm actually able to see the races. I wouldn't have been able to name you a NASCAR driver at 5 years old, but I knew who Joy Fair was. And, you know, my first real NASCAR driver, I will say, was Bill Elliott.
So what do you think of his son?
I can't stand that dude. And actually, I mean, I was a Bill Elliott fan early, but I guess, you know, when Mark Martin came on the scene and Alan Kawicki from, you know, I rooted for those guys and Davey Allison. You know, those are my favorite. And I'm number 7 because of, you know, Alan Kawicki.
That's why you're the 7?
Yeah, that's why I picked number 7, because, the first driver I rooted for was Bill Elliott, but, I really started getting into NASCAR right there, I think about 1989, Rusty Wallace won the championship, but I didn't really like him, you know, and I was like, I'm only rooting for Fords then, and I still root for mostly Fords, but, Alan Kawicki was the guy that, you know, he was the underdog.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, he even had the TH, you know, taped off or painted over on his car, so it said Underbird instead of Thunderbird, you know?
I only know of one person that will admit that they're a Rusty Wallace fan, and she didn't even admit it. Her son had to just right now on the podcast.
Yep, but anyways, the Freaky Fast guys, they went Wednesday night to the Charlotte Roval.
Yeah, so there we had Jason Hurdle get the pole, followed by Joshua Susi, Kevin Bernheimer, Ethan Michaels, and Lucas Gortman on the top 5. They ended up running 35 laps, 0 cautions. They had 2 lead changes. Hurdle came home. Jason Hurdle came home with the win, followed by Ethan Michaels, Justin Gibbs, Elijah Travis, and Jamie Maudsley. Keith, he finished P6. Bernheimer, 9. Gortman finished 12th. Gitchell ended up 3rd in the Toyota.
Yeah.
And running at the finish.
Yep, yeah. And running at the finish.
Yeah, David Tamira, you know, he pulled off the class win for the Toyotas.
Yep. Followed by David Trumbly, then Gitchell, and Mark Bradshaw.
They got to get more Toyotas out there. It's a free car. I've done some playing around with it. I have not raced it, though. But I'm sure Gitchell can tell you how they are.
I don't get it, because, I mean, they're actually a fun car to drive. So, I honestly, I don't know why we're not getting the turnout with them. That, you know, we're getting, you know, 3 to 5 cars. So. I don't know. I wish I could explain it.
It's probably because the guys like to run a minute 16 lap over a minute 30.
I will say that the closing rates between them and the GT3 cars is absolutely terrifying. So that could be a portion of it.
Yeah.
Is it more scary than a GT3 car with an LMP2 coming up there?
I haven't been in that scenario, so I can't answer that.
I got you.
But you know, they're always looking for drivers there on Wednesday night. So if you want to get better at road courses, that'd be the guys to talk to over there. You know, Freaky Fast.
A good group of guys over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna start running Wednesdays, and then dumb me went out and got another RC car, and now Wednesdays is my RC car race tonight.
Yeah. Yep. And so on Thursday we took the trucks to Dover, which you know, that race was better than the race at Pocono, but it still needs to get cleaned up. We still ended up having 9 cautions for 36 laps. We completed 107 we ended up doing 3 green-white checkers at the end. But in qualifying, you know, Ryan Johnson was your fast qualifier. Sat on the pole. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't race with us on Thursday, so it was cool to have him there with us on Thursday. But then it was like, oh, now I'm going to get beat by somebody else.
Yeah. We should start something to where, you know, like these good guys, you know, just how NASCAR limits the cup drivers coming down to Xfinity. And now, like these guys, we need to limit their how often they can run in trucks.
Yeah, that would be
get 5 races.
Yeah. Yeah, anyways, it was good to have Ryan down there with us on Thursday. But, you know, Lucas Gortman, he loves Dover, and he pulled off the win over Ryan on Thursday night. I mean, I wasn't that close to the front, so I don't know how great of a battle that was.
I was up there, but not at the end, but between the mid race between Lucas, me, and Johnson, we were running. And I was passing Johnson, and Patrick was watching. He's like, "Yeah, I think you're using your stuff up." After the race, we were talking about it, and I'm like, "Yeah, I think I am too, but I want to get up there, lead some laps," and fell back a little bit, and then worked my way back up, and then dummy me on a restart, thinking I can go in first to get a good launch, and spun the tires and fell back to 20th something, and end up with a top 10 overall. So
yeah, I watched that replay. That replay where you spun the tires, that was my undoing. Because I was one of the trucks that got collected there.
Yeah.
Way to go, Jeff.
Yeah. So I was going to get a top 5 out of that one, but no.
All right.
I finished P4. 107 laps down.
I mean, I finished 9th, but I was pretty excited for that 9th, to be honest with you, because I pretty much got started shotgun on the field. Everybody had EOLs, and I was the last to get an EOL, so I started last. So to finish 9th out of, I think we had 42 trucks, 41 trucks. So to finish, you know, get a top 10 after starting 41st, I'll take that. Especially at Dover where, you know, there's people flying around. There's debris everywhere, you know. It's just, you know, you have to take your time moving towards the front and be patient, but you also need to get up there.
Yeah, but, I was kind of mid-pack the whole race there, and I was just kind of quietly chipping away, you know, and I was, like, right at the edge of a top 10 finish, and then me and Joe found each other and just, see ya, you're done.
Yeah.
You went, You went to the moon.
Oh my god, that thing came to a it found one of those joints in the track and it
backwards.
Yeah, it came to a dead stop and went about 100 feet backwards up the track.
At least it was
spectacular. I mean, I'll give it that. It was spectacular. Right?
We only had one guy finish with absolutely zero incident points, and that was our winner.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I was worried the whole race about being towards the back of the pack and getting damaged. And then when I got to the front, that's when I got damaged. So I guess it doesn't really matter where you're at. You can still, trouble's going to find you.
Right.
But yeah, we did 107 laps. Ryan Johnson, Luke Scorpion won the race, but Ryan Johnson finished second. Kyle Spies, your top three, Jeff Radke, Corey Stahl, Jeff DeSanzo, Mike Toomer. He was the driver that got the Hard Charger Award. We both, but that was, that's from your starting position, your qualifying position, not your actual starting position. So Mike Toomer, he got the Hard Charger. Matthew Wheeler, myself, I got ninth, and Jeff with the top 10. Next week we go to Daytona with the truck, so that's going to be interesting. I really love Daytona. I usually run real good there. I don't run nearly as good at Talladega, which you would think would be pretty close to the same, but it's not for me.
You like the tight racing at Daytona?
Possibly. I don't know. It just seems like I always finish better at Daytona than I do at Talladega.
So I always like Talladega better, just because you can push it three wide a lot easier. You know, it seems like once you get pushing guys three wide, then you just have chaos.
Yeah. Well, I think that might be why I do better at Daytona. Now, I feel like I run the same at Talladega and Daytona, but I just seem like I get caught up in a wreck when somebody is three wide in Talladega. I don't survive them like I do at Daytona.
Yeah.
So. Then Friday night, last night, we took the Next Gen Cup cars to Dover.
Yep. Let's see here. We had Ryan Johnson on the pole, although he was an EOL for winning the previous week. So that put Ramsdale and Corey Stahl on the front row. Through the race, we had 12 cautions for 48 laps. We ended up with a green-white checker at the end. 150 scheduled laps, did 152. At the end of the race, I got to flip my thing over to race here. End of the race, we had Luke Smith, who led 100 laps of the race, followed by myself, which I believe I technically got the Hard Charger there. I went up 16 positions.
You also had the fastest lap of the race there, Gitch.
Yeah, myself, Luke, and Jeff Ramsdale here, we all did our fastest lap of the race on lap 152, which I got the fast lap. Ramsdale finished third, Garrett Sidnor fourth, and Jeff Radke finished in fifth. And I will
he
say,
had his fastest lap on the last lap, too.
Yeah,
so four of the top five had their fastest lap on the last lap.
Keith then also in 10th, yeah. There was quite a few of us.
Turkle?
Yeah, that was, I mean, that green-white checker, that was qualifying laps. Send it.
Yeah. And Joel Brewer. So out of all the guys on the lead lap, was it five? Or six guys had their fastest lap on the last lap out of the top 16.
And I think unofficially Ryan should have the Hard Charger Award since he started shotgun on the field, went all the way to the front, got sent to the back, and then made his way all the way to the front again. So he passed everybody on the track at least once.
Yeah.
Except for Luke. Did he ever pass Luke?
Yeah, he led a couple of laps.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he led a couple laps.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't have. He probably should have just let Luke go and let Luke get collected, but he did. But, Ryan had a great night. Even though for him, ninth place is like finishing last, But
I know.
So for as many cars as he passed to get into the top 10 and have all the have the issues that he did have, you know, and the thing is that the when something happens to you, you're leading a race early, you have time to recover and get back up there. But when it happens with like 20 to go, you have, you know, less opportunity to recover.
Yeah, I made the bonehead mistake of, so we had that caution
guys,
with
right back.
10 laps to go in the first stage, maybe a couple, like maybe 11 laps to go. And I stayed out to get stage points. And then after the stage, you know, I pit, went to the back. My race, my night was done. You know, that in the back, they were racing so hard, you know, use up your stuff, and then you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, not going to make that mistake again.
At least not at Dover.
And I also
there's some tracks. Yeah, there's some tracks that you could go to the back, like, you know, next week at Daytona, and it won't be so bad, but at Dover, where there's not a lot of passing opportunities.
Yeah, I'm no Ryan Johnson, so. My trip to the back, it was a death sentence. To where his trips to the back, he's just like, oh, just a little delay.
Yeah. But anyways, we talked about some league news that we might have. We released the schedule for our Dirt to Daytona this week. So that's... That's going to be, I'm really excited about that, that, you know, that's got some opportunities. Going to, you know, Ryan Johnson, you know, he's probably one of the fastest drivers that I know of on iRacing. And, you know, it's going to put a challenge to somebody like Ryan. Is he going to be fast on dirt? Is he going to be fast in the Legends cars? You know, I know he's fast in street stocks. I've seen him be fast in street stocks before, but, you know, what about the SK mod? Is he going to be fast there? I don't know. And I'm not saying Ryan's going to be able to. I think he's got stuff going on Monday nights. But, you know, in general, you know, the fastest drivers you know in iRacing, how are they, you know, at in different forms of racing, in different vehicles, on different tracks? You know, this is going to tell who the best driver is in on ovals at just about every kind of track.
I think we got a really good mix of car and track combinations coming up with that, so it should be really interesting to see who can stay at the front, you know, especially the people that we know are, you know, front runners in Cup week in, week out, is, you know, they can bring it down to the local level and still remain.
I'm hoping that we can get some guys to step out of their comfort zone, too, of, you know, the guys that don't usually run dirt. You know, come on, we have two races in the season that are dirt. You know, just come on out.
Well, and even with that, we didn't necessarily select the hardest dirt tracks. I mean, it's Eldora and Bristol. I mean, they're you know, relatively, you know, good rhythm, you know, a little bit forgiving because they're kind of wide. So it's not like we're throwing them into the big blocks at Weed Sport.
Yeah. I will say this, that anybody out there that don't really, that doesn't really run the dirt that often, when I took a small break from my racing, and I would just get on once in a while, and I was like, I'm going to try to get better at dirt, and I did. I got my I rating up above 2,000 for a while, and last time I ran a dirt race, my pedals went out, so I had to. You know, I had to stop, and my rating's now sitting in a 1959 on dirt. But, you know, I was like, I don't like dirt. I don't want to run dirt. But when I actually put my mind to doing it, I got pretty decent at it. And that's like anything on iRacing or anything in life, buddy. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. So, yeah, so there's only a couple dirt races there, and they're pretty... Like the 305s are pretty, I won't say they're easier, but they're easier to drive.
Yeah, they're definitely the easiest sprint car.
Yeah.
I think it's a good call having them at Bristol, too. You know, that nice banked track.
Yeah. Yeah. So but we hope to get a lot of participation throughout that, and you know, it'll be a lot of fun. I know I'm really excited for that series. Because I mean, I like racing all the oval cars. I mean, I like racing them, all of them. So, not that I'm good at any of them, but I just like racing all of them. So,
I gotta love the short track cars of your Saturday night racing.
Yeah, so it's Dirt to Daytona. We're starting off the Dirt Street Stocks at Eldora, Legends Cars. You know, at Charlotte, little quarter mile track there. You know, Lucas Oil, which is IRP, Bristol Dirt, Five Flags. You got the Modifieds. You know, Modifieds, one of the biggest tracks at Martinsville. Races of the year is at Martinsville. So, you know, we got that, then you know, some more common tracks like Rockingham with the ARC cars. We talked about them earlier with Freaky Fast with the Xfinity cars. So, then Talladega with the trucks. It's a good combination. And but you know, we wrap it up with Indy cars, or not the Cup cars at Indy. And then the Daytona part is we're going to run a full-length Firecracker 400 to wrap up that season. Now, that will not be a points-paying race, but because it's going to be on a Friday night. So the whole season should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Yeah.
So that anybody that's ran SDR, they're like, well, multi-class, that's what SDR is. And it doesn't necessarily mean that multi-class is going to go away. We're just going to take a little break from it for a little bit. And then
rebrand it.
Let it regroup. You know, the future of triple threat, we have a plan for that. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. It might not ever be a full-time series again, but I think what we're going to do with it, it's going to be, I think people will appreciate it.
And I think if we go with Thomas's plan with the triple threat, I think it will work really good.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I think it's, we just need a little, you know, a season off from it.
Yep. So that's what the plan is for the current Monday nights. We got the trucks on Thursdays and the next gen on Fridays, which, you know, we're diligently reviewing each replay. I know a lot of you drivers that might be listening have been in these races and they're real head scratchers, and we sit down, we diligently review all these replays, and we all save the replays. We all watch them. And, you know, we're not afraid to give ourselves penalties.
If I got one on Thursday.
And you're going to get one tonight.
Probably. I'll definitely say, penalties, they suck to hand out, especially the in-race ones. When you see guys doing good and one little mistake and... like, oh crap, I got to send them to the rear, you know, but
we always set an precedent for everybody, and everybody gets.
I think the just being respectful will go a long way, you know, just in my eyes, you know, you make a mistake, pipe up, say I'm sorry, you know, hey man, I made a mistake. That means more than, you know, sometimes it doesn't sit well still when you're wrecked and your car's smoking and you're limping all into the pits, but at least somebody is respectful enough to tell you, hey man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, you know. When somebody, you know, doesn't show respect, that's more of the issue there. Is just be respectful of the drivers around you, man. That's it. If everybody can respect each other, then our racing is going to be a lot of fun. And if we can't show respect, then You know, it's just not going to be very fun for anybody.
No. And, you know, one thing, you know, stemming from this week is, you know, we just need guys pay attention under caution. We've had two incidences then, you know, one on Thursday, one on Friday, just guys not paying attention. Like once a caution comes out and going to get a drink of water or checking on something next to him, and they just plow into the guy that's ahead of them, you know. So, you know, we just definitely need to just be more conscious of where we're at and what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, just be conscious of, you know, what's going on around you. You know. But, yeah, we won't harp on it too much, but, you know, we did penalties last week. We'll do more penalties this week. And, you know, hopefully it just cleans up. But with that being said, we have our driver picks.
We are at Auto Club this week in NASCAR.
Gitch got the point last week with his Joey Logano pick. I thought for sure that, you know, Brad Keselowski was going to win that Daytona 500 for a little bit. Him and Buescher. Kyle Busch?
Yeah, I was pulling for Busch. I think I'm going to be swapping who I'm cheering for this year, and I'm going to go to Busch since he's back in a Chevy. I like the fact that, I don't know, people kind of label him as a prick. I like that about him. You know, he wants to win, and, you know, Johnson definitely takes it better, but, you know, how you said, you know, Johnson's ninth place finishes may as well just be last. You know, I think Busch has that same mentality, and I like that. But yeah. I picked Eric Jones for Auto Club.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff, who'd you pick?
I picked Reddick after last year. He probably should have won the race. He won both stages. So I think hopefully Reddick has that same ability in the 2311 car to perform good also. Yeah.
So Joe Turkle, he took Patrick's driver, Kyle Busch.
And Matthew Boston Wheeler took Logano.
Yeah.
Seeing if you can ride Gitchell's coattails to getting a point.
Yeah. Thomas Myers, he took Kyle Larson.
How did he take? I was wondering if anybody took Larson.
Yeah.
Lucas, he went out and picked Bubba.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Must be a throwaway week.
I'll only pick him at super speedways.
Yeah.
Like I picked him last week, and he was up there, and then he got set in the wall. I'm like, oh, come on.
I liked how I saw an article right after the race. It was like Bubba in the wall after, you know, they were trying to put it on Truex after, like, you know, just saying that the push that Truex gave him was just a crappy push. It was like, it wasn't a crappy push. It just
he got bumped from Denny, was it, behind him? And then Truex bumped into Bubba.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out next week what these super speedway bumps will be like. Maybe we'll feel the same thing.
Yeah. Then, yeah, so go ahead.
Keith Fonseca, he took Kevin Harvick.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think Harvick will do good this year. You know, he's on his, how they label it, his don't give a...
Don't give a damn tour.
His don't give a damn tour. I think Harvick will do good this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I took Almirola, not the... You know, I just didn't want to. I like to not he's use.
Yeah, he's a conservative pick.
Yeah, I just didn't want to. I don't want to take one of your ace in the holes and use him at early, because you never know. Some teams might. You might think that Hendrick's going to be good this year, and I'm not saying that they might not, but, you know, maybe they just take a step back from where they've been. You know, Maybe there's another team that steps forward and they're going to be decent this year. So you don't want to, I just don't want to use up, you know, yet a good solid pick yet this early.
That's the same thing I just, that I did, you know, it's like, well, I know Jones did decent there last year, ran near the top. So I just figured I'd pick a guy that isn't mainstream yet and just kind of give it a couple weeks before I dive into the guys that I really want to use.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I thought about this this week, and it's something we should have started last week, but I want to give the league drivers a chance to pick a driver each week and see if the league drivers as a collective whole is how they do against us admins. And so the drivers picked this week, Willie Burton from Freaky Fast. He picked Ty Gibbs. So next week we'll let the NIL drivers pick a driver. And so the Freaky Fast drivers picked that Willie Burton selected Ty Gibbs for the Freaky Fast League.
He's on drugs.
Ty Gibbs or Willie Burton?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
But Gitch, since he won, he had to wait and pick last. So who did you select, Gitch?
I'm going with Bowman.
Yeah.
So are you doing no kind of same mentality as me and Dave? You know, I know like last week you used Logano, but like this week you're kind of, I mean, I kind of think of Bowman as a safe pick.
No, it's much more simplistic to that. It's names I still recognize.
He liked the number.
That yeah. too.
Yeah, so we'll see how they do at Auto Club. One thing about Auto Club this week, we're going to have a fun race on Monday. The Legacy Trucks at Auto Club. It's just a fun race that we're put together to see. If anybody's interested, it'll just be in hosted sessions. There won't be any password or nothing. Just anybody that wants to race it can jump in there and race it. The session will open at 7:30, qualifying at 8:20, we'll grid at 8:30. So if we get some participation out of our league drivers for that, that would be awesome. But anybody else got anything for today?
No, I think I'm pretty set.
Like to thank our guest this week.
We'll get him on.
Yeah. But anyways, we'll talk to you guys next week here on the Not So Fast podcast.
Later.
See you later.
See you later.
Pacone Setup Shop. Our setups, your victories. Custom-built setups for any asphalt oval car. Weekly setups for asphalt and dirt oval cars. Private one-on-one driver coaching. Consultation with knowledgeable iRacing experts. Get your setups today. Use code SDRL for 20% off.